Well, good evening. It's lovely to see you in God's house this evening. We're going to take our hymn books to hymn 608 as we commence our worship this evening. 608, the page is 421. Abide with me. Fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens. Lord, with me abide. 608. We'll stand together as we sing, please. Look to the Lord in prayer. Still ourselves in His presence this evening. Heavenly Father, we come in to Thy most holy presence, confessing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only mediator between God and man, the only Savior even of His people. We thank Thee that He is the eternal Son of God, only begotten of the Father. And we can say this night that He is our friend. He is our Savior. He is the one who has went before us, that second Adam, the one who lived the perfect life, the one who died the atoning death, the one who's risen and ascended, seated at thy right hand. Praise God, the one who's coming for us. We gather to this house tonight, O God, to give thanks, even as that was brought to us this morning, to give thanks in everything. O Father, we thank thee this night for the Son of God. We thank thee this night that he is one who never forgets us, who makes continual intercession for us, even at the right hand of the Father. We thank thee for that high priest that we have in glory, the one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. We bow before thee and we do thank and praise thee for this day. We thank thee for this special significance and meaning of the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, that Christ is risen, that death could not hold him, that tonight the tomb is empty, the stone is rolled away, and he is alive forevermore. We come to thee rejoicing in salvation. We come to thee rejoicing that thou hast redeemed us, that thou hast saved us, that thou dost keep us. And Father, we come even to this house and we pray that thou wilt bless our coming together. We pray that we will know the presence of God with us tonight. We pray that we will know the power of God, even as we seek to worship thee, that thou wilt empty us all of self and of sin, that thou wilt fill us with thy Spirit, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. O Father, that thou wilt be one of our number, that thou wilt bless in the singing of the hymns, that thou wilt bless in the reading of thy precious word. Oh, what a privilege it is to have the word of God, to have it in our hands, to have it in our language, to have it that we can read it publicly, that we can even spend time considering what the text before us does say. Oh, Father, bless this night as we preach. Oh, that thou wilt speak to every one of our hearts, that thou wilt speak to the young, that thou wilt speak to the children, to the boys and to the girls, that thou wilt speak to the young people, that thou wilt speak, O God, to the adults, to each and to every one that is here, that they will each be able to leave rejoicing and testifying that the Lord spoke to me. The Lord spoke to me individually. The Lord ministered to my heart. Lord, remember every need that there is at this time. Remember every family. Oh, Father, we think of those in our church family that are sorrowing at this time. We pray for them. Remember our brother Eric. Oh, Lord, comfort and sustain him in the passing of his brother-in-law. Remember Frank and Susan. Lord, we think of that passing of a mother. And Father, we do pray that thou wilt sustain them. We think even of tomorrow, the time of the funeral service, the time, O God, of even laying the remains into the earth. Oh, that thou wilt be very near, that they will know the grace of God in these days, that comfort, yea, that peace. And, O Father, that thou wilt undertake for every need. Lord, remember the sick of our congregation. Bless and be with them. We thank thee for prayers that have been answered in these days, for individuals that were in hospital that are now at home. But, O God, we pray for that continual touch upon bodies, that thou wilt strengthen, that thou, O God, wilt sustain, that thou wilt give that increase of health, that even soon, O God, they'll be back with us, able in the body to join with us and to worship the Lord in this house. Lord, remember family circles. Remember young people at this time. Remember children of this congregation. Remember, O God, those that are in the school place, the university. We think of the trials that there are. We think of the temptations that are there. We think, O God, of the devil as he seeks to wreck and to ruin the youth and to wreck and to ruin the children, even off the godly homes. Father, that thou wilt be near unto them, that thou wilt watch over them, that thou wilt keep them, that thou wilt save them young in life, Lord, enable them to walk with thee, enable them to grow in grace and in knowledge of their Lord and Savior. Lord, remember every parent. O God, give that grace and that help. Lord, we thank thee this day that thou art a great God. We acknowledge that thou art greatly to be praised. We rejoice that thou art the King and the sole head of the church. It's not the work of man. It's not the work of a session. This is thy work. We commit it afresh into thy hands, even for the days that lie ahead, for the various works that are planned in the will of the Lord even for this week. Bless them. Bless, O God, each one of them with thy presence, with that numerical increase, O God. With the tide rising, we think, O God, of the works amongst the children, the young people. Bless them. We think of the time of Bible study and of time of prayer together as a congregation. Bless it. And, O Father, be near to us in these days. Lord, remember our land. O God, remember our nation. O, that thou wilt turn this nation again to thee. Remember at this time the wars right across this world. We think of Israel afresh tonight. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray, O God, that thou wilt have mercy. We pray, O God, even for those that seek to bring aid in, and those, O God, even of Christian missionaries that are on the ground seeking to help. Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt watch over thy people, that thou wilt keep them, that thou wilt be unto them all that they would need. Lord, we think of those that serve thee even in Eastern Europe as well. We think, O God, of those that are seeking to reach those in Ukraine and Russia. O Father, such awful places to be at this time in terms of war and devastation. And yet we thank thee that thou art still the king upon the throne. Thou art still able to save from the guttermost even unto the uttermost. Lord, save the chief of sinners. Have mercy, we pray thee. Lord, hear and answer prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The hymn 29, as we continue to worship the Lord this evening. The hymn 29, the page is 187. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright. The hymn 29, again, will stand as we sing, please. Let's take our Bibles, please. We're turning to 2 Timothy in the chapter 1. The last time that we were reading together as a congregation, we finished 1 Timothy. And so we want to just continue on in the epistles of Paul, 2 Timothy, and the chapter 1. We'll read the opening 9 verses of the chapter this evening. Second Timothy in the chapter 1 and the verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to his own purpose, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let me welcome you in the Saviour's name to the house of the Lord this evening. It's good to see each one that's gathered with us. And we do pray that the Lord will bless us, the Lord will meet with us as we are here. Some of our folk are away on holiday, and we're glad to see you and to see you in God's house with us. And those that are visiting, we give you a special welcome tonight. Some friend up from 6 Mile Cross, it's lovely to have them. And some others as well that have been faithful joining with us on the Sunday nights. We do welcome you indeed and pray the Lord will be near indeed to each one of us. We do remind you of the announcements for the incoming week, and tomorrow at 10:30 continues the work of the parent and toddlers in the church hall. And do also remember then tomorrow night 6:45 is Awana also in the church hall. Tuesday night 7 p.m. is the children's meeting up in the prayer room, and keep all of these works amongst the boys and girls and the little ones continuously before the Lord, that the Lord will bless them, the Lord will give the increase, and even early in life that the Lord will save these precious little ones even for his own glory. On Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. We meet again for Bible study and for our time of prayer. And let me give that invitation and encouragement to you to be here as we continue our series and looking at the 12 disciples. We come this week to look at Andrew, a very interesting disciple. You might think there's not very much said about Andrew. Well, come on Wednesday night and you'll see what is said as we look together at this disciple. But let me again just mention to you, young people, we'd love to see you coming to the house of God and studying the Word and even taking part in the seasons of prayer, and older alike. We love to see God's people gathering. And we love to hear God's people crying unto the Lord. And so even as we continue through the autumn time, as the dark nights are coming, yes, let's be making that effort to continuously be here as much as is possible. Youth fellowship on Friday night at 8 p.m. We remind the young people of that. We'd love to see you there. We'd love to have that time of fellowship together on the Friday evenings. Then next Sunday, in the will of the Lord, the services, 10 a.m., the Sabbath school, the Bible class, and then the regular times of worship, 11:30, 7 p.m., and I'll be here in the will of the Lord to conduct both of those meetings. There will, of course, be the seasons of prayer before both meetings, and immediately after the morning time, we will be remembering the Lord's death around the table of communion. So we do remind God's people of that, even to be here. And of course, do remember as well the times change. The clocks go back on Saturday night. And so you can enjoy an extra hour in bed, unless you have a young child. I remember whenever our boys were young and the clocks went back, we never enjoyed an extra hour in bed. We got an hour less. They always seem to get up earlier. And we're thankful now they're at that age where they can just get up if they want. They don't need to disturb me. I'll enjoy my extra hour in bed of rest next Sunday morning. But remember that, even with the change of the clocks. Other announcements we mentioned to you again, got carried off, continues their mission. And this is now into the second and the final week off it. Reverend Roger Higgison has been conducting those meetings. Do pray. And again, if you can get along and support any nights when there's not meetings here, then certainly do go and give your support to the meetings there. Newton Ards are also having a special week of meetings. And again, they commenced this evening and they'll continue then to Friday night. And they're entitled Questions That Matter. Various speakers are taking part. And again, if you can get along to any of the meetings, never give up your own time in your own church. But if you can get along other nights, then certainly go and support our brethren and our sisters. Continue to remember the sick. It's good to hear. And we are thankful that those that have been in hospital, Robert, Sydney, have got home from hospital. We'll just pray for that touch upon them, that the Lord will strengthen them. And remember Joanne as well, and David, Foster David, and Amanda as well, that the Lord will just perfect all that concerneth them, that each one will know that physical touch upon their bodies in the days that lie ahead. Do, as was mentioned this morning, the two families that have been bereaved of late, do remember them. And if you can get along even tomorrow, and the funeral there in Killyleagh Parish Church at 11 a.m. For Frank Carlisle's mother. They understand, of course, that if you're working, there's not an issue, but they certainly do value the prayers of God's people at this time, that the Lord will sustain them and uphold them. Let's take our hymn books once again, and we'll sing together the hymn 120. The hymn 120, Thine be the glory, risen conquering Son, endless is the victory, thou or death has won. Just while I remember as well, if you were looking for the Missionary Council papers of all of the latest news, our brother James was going to have them for today, but they're going to be with us then on Wednesday evening. And so if you're looking at the update of the Missionary Council work and also the update of the various missionaries, you'll be able to pick that up on Wednesday night. 120, let's remain seated please for the first part of the hymn.
Thank you.
Invite you to open your Bible, the book of Genesis, and we come in this evening to chapter 2, the book of Genesis in the chapter 2. Mentioned to you as well, next Sunday morning is of course Reformation Sunday. It's the last Sunday of October when, as Protestants, we remember and give thanks to God for the Reformation and for the move of God even in Europe, in the hearts of men such as Martin Luther, John Calvin, and those that were raised up, saved out of Roman Catholicism, and set then on fire for God. Well, we're going to be remembering that in the morning time. Special message. I have a character in my mind that I want to consider, and I won't mention to you who it is now, just in case it doesn't work out. But you come along next Sunday morning as we gather together to give thanks even to God for what he did right across Europe all of those years ago. Genesis chapter 2, just three verses, the opening three of the chapter we want to read together this evening. Verse 1, the word of God says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from his work, all his work which God created and made." It is the first Sabbath that we've just read about together in Scripture, and that's what we want to consider this evening, the first Sabbath. And let's just ask the Lord to speak to us through his word. Father, we thank thee this night already for thy presence, for thy help in this meeting. We thank thee, O God, now that we are coming around thy word. We pray that thou wilt come and that thou wilt speak, that thou wilt minister to our hearts, that thou wilt teach us from thy word. O Lord, teach the young, teach the old alike the importance of this day. And Father, what it means, and why we should give ourselves even to worshipping thee, and to remembering this day, and even to keeping it. We pray for the power of the Holy Ghost will even come and rest upon us. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. As we enter into chapter 2, we immediately come to consider the first Sabbath of Scripture. The God of eternity is also the God of time. And in his sovereign, his perfect will, God instituted that a day would consist of a 24-hour period, and that a week would consist of 7 24-hour periods. Over these last number of weeks, as we have begun this series together in Genesis, we have considered and studied together the 6 days of creation. 3 days of forming the earth, and 3 days of filling it. And as mankind was created, it tells us, male and female created he them, God breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul. The end of that day is Adam and Eve are there together, for remember, they are there together. Make no mistake about that. Some people, if you read through, you come down into chapter 2, and then you're reading later on of how then the Lord causes that deep sleep to come upon man. And you might be forgiven to think, oh, there were the 6 days of creation, and only Adam was there by the end of day 6. And then the Lord rested in day 7. And then he started up creating all again come the first day of the week, and he just carried on. That is not the case. By the end of day 6, man and woman, Adam and Eve, are there in the garden together. It tells us, chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Male and female created he them." And then you look at verse 28, it tells us that God blessed them, and God said unto them, both of them are there. It is not God saying unto Adam, and Adam then having to repeat it later to Eve, both of them are there, both of them are blessed, both of them are together. And so God surveys all of his creation. and God sees that it is very good. All creation is complete. And so on the seventh day, we read chapter 2 and the verse 2 that God rested. Now let me pause there. Just for the sake, maybe of everyone, but certainly for the sake of the young people and the children. When it says that God rested, it does not mean that God was tired. It does not mean that over the 6 days God had burnt out, God had spent all of his energy, and he had put so much into creation that God literally needed to take the day off and just to lie down and to rest. God is unchanging and unchangeable. That means that every single day of creation, yes, God created the light, and God created the firmament, and God created and gathered the waters, and God made the land to appear, and God did all of the creation, all of the fish and the birds, all of the animals. It never took one thing out of God. It never tired him physically at all. He could have done all of creation in one moment, all together, everything as we enjoy it, everything as we see it. He could have done it in the blink of an eye. And it would never have exhausted him at all. Our God does not sleep. Because our God does not need to sleep. You remember the word Psalm 121. It tells us that God never slumbers and God never sleeps. God is ever watching. God is ever awake. God is ever perfect, even in his energy and his strength. And so whenever it tells us that on the seventh day that he rested, it is important that you read all of verse 2, and it's important that you read all of verse 3, because it does tell us what he rests from. He is not resting from tiredness. He is resting from his work. His work is finished. Creation was complete. And so all that God was putting in, as it were, and all of the words and all of the forming and all of the creating, it was complete. And therefore the hands no longer made, the mouth no longer spoke forth, everything was there in existence. And so God could cease from the work. He rested from it. There was a cessation of that which had gone before. That day, the seventh day, is marked by God. And you notice even as you look at verse 3 that it tells us that God blessed the seventh day. He blessed the Sabbath. Now you can go through all of the days of creation. You can read through chapter 1 again. There's not one other day of creation does it say God blessed it. God blessed the Sabbath, and in return, what that means is the Sabbath is a blessing unto us. Because when God blesses something, it will pour forth a blessing. There are two things I want to leave with you this evening in relation to this first Sabbath. I want you to see firstly with me the institution of it. The institution of it. Verse 2, it says, on the Sabbath day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. Out of all of the days of the week, this one is set aside as being special. You see that in the wording that is used. For example, again, you can do it in your own time. Go through chapter 1. Go through the various days of creation. Every one of them is wrote about and spoken about in the same way, apart from the Sabbath. Because whenever you go through all of the different days of creation, it says the evening and the morning were the first day, the second day, the third day, fourth, fifth, and sixth. It does not say that about the seventh. It does not tell us the evening and the morning were the seventh day. The wording and how the day is described and how the account is given is separate, is different from all other days of creation. Never light shone forth. God didn't bless that day. Whenever the fish were swimming and the birds were flying, God didn't bless that day. Whenever mankind walked upon the earth, the crown of creation, God didn't bless that day. But it tells us here in chapter 2 that God blessed the seventh day, the day of rest. The day when all was finished. The day whenever God could survey the entire landscape of creation. The day whenever God could see all of its beauty, all of its majesty, all of its perfection, all that was very good. God could stop, as it were, could sit and just look and survey. All creation is done. And all creation is perfect. And so the seventh day was special. It was special to God. But it was also for man to stop. For man to come aside. For man to stop thinking about that which he thinks about the rest of the week. For man to stop doing that which he does the rest of the week. For man, as it were, just to step aside and to spend that time, their thoughts, their energy, all of their strength and their being, just considering God, what he has created. What is accomplished? How good our Creator is. To spend it completely upon worship. To spend it completely upon remembering and thinking, meditating and giving thanks, even as it was brought to your attention this morning. Giving thanks unto God for everything. To simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have created. Thank you for what you have given. Thank you for everything that you've provided. You know, it's interesting, whenever you go through the Old Testament, there is always a connection between creation and the Sabbath day. You go to the book of Exodus, chapter 20, you have the giving of the Ten Commandments. There in Exodus, in the chapter 20, it says, the verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. But whenever you're having the giving of the Ten Commandments, it's interesting that out of all of the commandments that are given, this one is given an extra detail. It's not simply the commandment, remember the Sabbath day, and then it moves on to honour thy father and thy mother. There is the extra explanation, the extra given detail to us, because it tells us, verse 11, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. And did you notice something? Did you notice the word remember? There's the giving of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not honor thy father and thy mother. But you come to the fourth commandment, it starts with the word remember. It's an interesting detail. You know, some people might think to yourself, and some people might say, well, that was the giving of the commandments to Moses. That was the start of the Sabbath day. As if between Adam's generation and then Moses' generation, everyone just did that which they wanted. There was no restriction, there was no holding, there was no commandment to give a day unto the Lord. But my friend, even from that word, one word, remember, it shows us that from Adam's generation, every single generation stopped on the Sabbath day to remember, to give thanks unto God for his creation. In Noah's day, in Abraham's day, Isaac's day, Jacob's day, they all knew what the Sabbath was. They all knew there was one day out of seven set aside for the worship of God. And so whenever it comes to Moses' day, it is telling us simply this: remember to keep it. Israelites, of you, as you have been keeping, and of course you think of all of the persecution, the captivity in Egypt, all of the slave masters upon them, and the task that they had to even do, and how often that no doubt was taking them even on their Sabbath day, and it's just being brought afresh to their memory. Now that you're free, now that the slave drivers are gone, the taskmasters have been removed, remember to do what you've always been doing. Keep the Sabbath. It was a spiritual benefit to the Sabbath day because it caused man to spend time in worship, caused man to draw near to God. But there was also a physical benefit. Exodus 23, the verse 12, it says, 6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the Sabbath day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, the son of thine handmaid, and the stranger may be refreshed. In other words, they've worked for 6 days. They've worked the entire week. Let the body rest. Let the body be refreshed. Let the human batteries, as it were, be recharged, that you can go again. Never forget that God cares for all of our need. He cares for the spiritual, yes, but he also cares for the temporal. None of us can go on forever. There's some men, maybe even some women, and they just work and they work and they think, oh, I can do it, and I can just keep going 12-hour shifts day after day after day, and I can just give myself continuously. Your body will, it'll fight back at some stage. It'll give you a little knock on the shoulder, a little tap as it were, and go, right, you're out. You need to come aside and stop. This body can't go on. Our bodies need rest, and God has ordained that we rest. Not only is there a connection between creation and the Sabbath, but I believe there's also a connection between the covenant and the Sabbath. Each one here tonight that saved, you're part of God's covenanted people. You are redeemed. The covenant of grace has been extended to you. You're saved. Each one chosen of God, redeemed by Christ. You're a benefactor of the covenant of grace. And so every Sabbath ought to have a very important, a very special place in your heart. We are to keep the Sabbath as God's children. Exodus 31:13, it says, the Lord speaking, he says, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. There is a special place that is put upon the Sabbath because it is for God's people. It is a reminder. It is speaking to all generations. It's showing forth. Yes, you keep the Sabbath day because you love the Lord, but you're also keeping the Sabbath day by showing to mankind that this is God's day, that you're God's child. You come into the house of the Lord on a Sunday, and coming, yea, even in the morning and the evening time, is a testimony to those around you that this day is special because your connection, your unity, your bond is with God. And it's a witness. It's a witness as you drive in that gate and you get out of your car and you come in on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. It's a witness to everyone that's driving on past without a care in the world that this is something that is special and important to you. That you are connected, that you're united with Christ. That this day is different from the other six. That this day is unique. And so if you think of that in terms of creation, you think of it in terms of the covenant, you think of the importance of the Sabbath, and you might ask yourself, well, I'm reading here in chapter 2 in verse 2 that the seventh day, God blessed the seventh day. Why are we not meeting on a Saturday? Why are we meeting on the first day of the week? Because a Saturday is the seventh day. I know a lot of men and women now that put together calendars, they don't seem to understand which day starts a week. You buy a diary or you have a calendar, and it seems to be that to everyone else, Monday's the first day of the week and Sunday's the seventh. Sunday is the first day of the week. Why are we meeting today and not yesterday? Why did we, as it were, give up on the seventh day and move to a Sunday? There are those, of course, who are Seventh-day Adventists. There are those that still hold to the Saturday. And one of the arguments that's given is, well, you'll not find it anywhere in New Testament Scripture a specific command to then change, to move your teaching, to move your worship, to move your day of rest from a Saturday to a Sunday. You won't find that verse. Well, as Christians, we believe. We hold to our Christian Sabbath being the Sunday. It was on the first day of the week that our Lord and Savior rose from the dead. And so every Sunday, for every believer, this day is a day of joy. This day ought to be a day of thanksgiving. That Christ is risen. That the work of the cross was accepted. That death could not hold our Savior. That up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose victorious, and now therefore death has no sting and grave has no victory. We have victory in Christ Jesus. And we gather together on the Sunday to remember and to give thanks that he is alive. And yes, it is true, you will not find a specific verse in New Testament Scripture where Paul or John or Peter or even the Lord Jesus does not say, now you meet together on a Sunday. Doesn't give the verse. But it gives you many verses that when you bring them all together, brings you to a Sunday. Let me start from the very beginning, Resurrection Day itself. John 20 in the verse 19. It tells us the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the disciples were assembled and Jesus came and he stood in the midst. John 20 in the verse 26. It tells us after 8 days again, his disciples were within. And so you have the first resurrection Sunday. You have that very day that Christ rose from the dead. And John 20:19 makes it very clear that the day that Christ rose was the first day of the week. It was Sunday. And you have the first time that disciples gathered together. Yes, they're gathering together in fear. Christ comes and he stands in the midst. And what does he do in that evening time? It tells us he shows his hands. He brings him to the cross. He brings him to consider his sufferings. But he brings him to consider that he's now alive. And then verse 26, it says, after 8 days again, his disciples were within. And you're maybe thinking, hold on, preacher, you can't count. Because Sunday plus eight, that's Monday, so they were a day late. They weren't quite into the way of meeting every Sunday. Jewish tradition is they start counting on the day that they're in. So whenever John is writing here, yes, under inspiration, the first day is Sunday, that's one. Monday, two. Tuesday, three. Make sure I don't get any days mixed up. Wednesday, four. Thursday, five. Friday, six. Saturday, seven. Sunday is eight. And the eighth day they gather together again. Thomas is with them this time. And what does it tell us? The Lord comes again and he stands in the midst. What does he do? He shows the hands. He brings him to the cross. Acts 20, the verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them. Notice it keeps mentioning the day that they're gathering together. Every single word in Scripture is there for a purpose and is there for the plan of God and in the will of God. And it tells us the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. What happens? Paul preaches. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Paul writing to the church in Corinth, he says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. What's that? It's the bringing in of your offerings. It's the bringing in of your tithes. Revelation 1, verse 10, speaking of John, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Always remember, young people, and even older people, a verse never stands on its own. Scripture complements Scripture. And yes, there are different authors throughout Scripture over different timelines and different generations, and yet all of the Scripture under inspiration of God, everything that's written down upon those pages, it complements one another. But there's one other passage I'll take you to. Turn with me to Hebrews in the chapter 4. Hebrews in the chapter 4, it speaks about creation, it speaks about the Sabbath. But I want to highlight just a couple of things which really bring it home to me that there is a difference of day. Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 4 it says, he spake, that's the Lord, in a certain place of the Sabbath day in this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Notice the words of verse 4, off the seventh day. It's specifically mentioned. Verse 5, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. But look at verse 7, again he limiteth a certain day. He doesn't say the seventh. He says a certain day. And notice the word again. And what that's really bringing to the fore is this. As God instituted one day, again he's given another day. And he mentions the seventh day in verse 4. If it's still the seventh day, why would he not mention it in verse 7? There's a difference. It's a certain day. It's a different day. And so you bring together all of the records, both from John, from Acts, from Corinthians, from Revelation. You bring all of those mentions of the first day. You add it with Hebrews 4. It's a certain day. What day is it? The first. So this day that we gather together, we're not simply gathering to acknowledge a finished creation. We're gathering together to acknowledge a finished work on the cross. The plan of salvation being fulfilled. That the Creator, yes, created all things perfectly. But then the God-man died on the cross. And his death was perfect and his death was accepted. And he now lives. Oh, what a blessing it is this day. It's instituted, it's in place for a reason. Yes, to give thanks to God for creation. To give thanks to God for sustaining this world and for keeping his hand upon it. But to give thanks to God for salvation. That Christ died for my sins. And Christ was buried. But Christ is risen. There's the institution of the day. But then secondly and finally, I want you to see the instruction for the day. The instruction for the day. It tells us in verse 3 of Genesis 2 that God blessed it and sanctified it. That word sanctified, really what it means is God set it apart. He separated it from the other days. And so there is an instruction, there is guidance even given in Scripture as to what you're supposed to do on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath. I would imagine the vast majority of Christian parents at some stage have been asked, "Mummy, Daddy, what can I do on a Sunday? What am I allowed to do?" And sometimes it's the case even that it's adults are coming and asking, and they're wondering, "Preacher, what am I allowed to do on a Sunday? What's not allowed?" You know, sometimes it's a case and depends on the heart. For some, and I'm not accusing any of it, but for some people it's a case they ask that question because their heart's desire is, how far can I push it before I've done wrong? How much of the world, how much of the other 6 days can I bring into the Lord's Day? How much is acceptable? How much of my normal activities, my normal hobbies, my normal interests, how much of those things can I bring in before I've just kind of crossed the line? For some, it almost becomes as if Sunday's a ball and chain. As if it's holding them back. As if it's to the point where no longer is there any enjoyment in the Sunday, but rather it's an awful day, you know, I can't go anywhere. And I can't go and be with my friends, and I can't do all of those other things that I do through the week, and I can't buy, and I can't shop, and I can't go to the sports events, and I can't watch this, and it's all just, oh, it's such an awful day, you know. I'm just banned from everything. As if this day is a burden. As if Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a negative part of being a Christian. And so the questions are asked, "Preacher, can I do this? Can I do that? Preacher, can I go here? Can I go there? Parent, mom, dad, what am I allowed to do?" And more, you see it over the years, young people, Christian families, maybe young boys, young girls, talented in sport. They're playing for their schools, and then Ulster comes knocking at the door. They're good at rugby, they're good at hockey, they're asked, "Come and try out." The child's like, "Mom, Dad, I'm doing so well, I've been picked for Ulster." "When's the tryouts?" "Oh, they're Sundays." And so the question, "Mom, can I go? Dad, can I go?" And the question keeps being asked, "What am I allowed to do on a Sunday?" In reality, don't ask me. It's not my day. Ask the Lord. It's His day. And He gives the answers in His word. What would the Lord say about His day in Scripture? Three things I'll leave with you. Firstly, what are you to do on the Lord's day? Number one, you're to rejoice. You're to rejoice. Do you know that was the first message that was delivered after the resurrection of Christ? You bring together the four gospel accounts of resurrection morning, all of the ladies, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the different ladies are gathered together there at the tomb. They're there with their despondency. They're there. They're saddened or grieved. What message did they keep getting, whether it be from the angels or from the Lord Himself? Be not afraid. He's risen. Get rid of your doom. Get rid of your gloom. Rejoice. He's alive. Do you know a Christian on a Sunday, even more so than every other day of the week, a Christian on a Sunday should be full of the joy of the Lord? Yes, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We are to be rejoicing every day. There should be happiness. There should be a smile on our faces. There should be joy within our hearts. But out of all of the days of the week, a Christian should be happiest on the Sunday. Why? Because He's risen. Whenever we come into this house, wonder how many of us walk in with a smile on our faces. How many of us are running, oh, I'm going to be late. How many of us walk in with smiles? How many of us come with excitement and joy? I'm going to the God's house. I go into it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. People walking past, do they see smiles on your faces as you're walking in? Or is it, oh. Now there are some people that think they have to be very serious. So they walk into God's house looking very, I was glad. Glad. When they said, let's go into God's house. New Testament church, Acts 2:46. It tells us what is it marked with. The New Testament church is marked with happiness. They're eating with gladness. Verse 47, they're praising God. There ought to be joy in a Christian in this day. No miserable Christians in church. You might think to yourself, but preacher, the providence that I'm going through, the trials upon the body, trials of loved ones, the hardships, the difficulties, the stresses, the strains of work, of family, of all of the different relationships and everything. It just weighs upon my shoulders. Cast all of your care upon the Lord, knowing He cares for you. Get into that prayer room upstairs. You pour it all unto the Lord. You come into this house with joy. Because everything that you're experiencing in life, Christ has experienced it. Everything that you're experiencing in life is in the divine will of God. And everything that you're experiencing in life, our King still in the throne caring for you. Oh yes, there's times of sadness, there's times of grief and heartache. But our God's alive. We're to rejoice. Secondly, we are to rest. We are to rest. Those verses that we read, Hebrews 4, and Hebrews 4 and verse 9, even after the change of the day, verse 7, it says, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We are to rest. Outside of the works of necessity, those things that fill our time throughout the week are to be set aside on a Sunday. Yes, there are the works of necessity. Farmers must milk the cows and must feed the livestock. Those that are involved maybe in nursing or in doctorate or even police or those vital services, yes, they must give of their time. But those that are just normal work and normal labours, those things must be set to the side. You're allowed to put down the Hoover on a Sunday. You're allowed to leave the grass to the Monday. Never worry about washing the car. Rest from all of those things. Rest from your sports. Rest from your hobbies. Rest your bodies and rest your minds. We are to give our bodies rest, and only the energy that is to be used in us, yes, the works of necessity, but the works of worship. That when you come to God's house, that you're awake, you're alert, you're giving of yourself, you're singing, you're praising, you're reading, you're praying, you're studying, you're listening, you're giving it all to the Lord. Child of God, never get caught up, never get caught in that trap that you feel you're so busy in the workplace or in the home place that you will sacrifice a part of the Sabbath day or all of the Sabbath day just to catch up with work. Never let it get to the point where you're saying to yourself, I'm just so busy, I have to go into work for a couple of hours on Sunday morning. If you're coming to that point, the devil's getting you and grabbing you and bringing you into a snare. If you're finding yourself that busy, you're too busy, you're in the wrong place. Never let the Lord's day be taken. We are to rest. That work will still be there tomorrow morning. That thing you never get finished on Friday night or Saturday night, it'll still be there tomorrow morning. This is God's day. We're to rest, we're to rejoice. Thirdly and finally, we are to remember. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember whose day it is. Remember who He is. God is holy. And if this is God's day and He is a holy God, then this is a holy day. Therefore, everything and anything that we do in this day ought never to take away from God's holiness. So the question is asked, can I watch the match? Will watching the match take away from God and His day? Well, if your team loses, you're going to be depressed. A Christian's not meant to be depressed on a Sunday. If your team wins, then you're more excited about the team than you are about the Lord and His day. And if you're watching the match for 90 minutes, your mind's not upon the things of God. Your mind's upon men running after a ball. This is God's day. Preacher, can I watch the film tonight? Sure, it's just a film on in the background. Can I just turn the TV on? Sure, what's harm if I'm just sitting? I'm resting my body. I'm on the sofa. Can I watch a film? Can I watch a program? You'll be doing very well to find a program today that doesn't take the Lord's name in vain. Or doesn't bring some other sin before your eyes and into your minds to pollute them. This is God's day. It's not a ball and chain. It's a special day to give thanks, to rejoice, to rest, and to remember God. To remember what Christ has accomplished for us. We are to do what it takes to keep it holy. If that means turning off every gadget in your house, turn them off. If that means coming away from all of the temptations, then come away from them. We're to remember His day to keep it holy. We're to keep our eyes upon Christ. We're to rejoice in the risen Savior. Or to rest physically and spiritually, resting on Him. Resting in His finished work. A child of God can rest knowing that it is completed for them. There's no condemnation. They're in Christ. They're saved. And we are to remember, it's God's day. Keep it holy. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee for the one day and seven that Thou hast set aside for us. For that rest even to our bodies, to our minds. But O God, even the joy this day brings to a believer. To rejoice that He is risen and He is alive. Father, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy word upon every heart. That Thou wilt continue to speak even through it. And O Father, that Thou wilt bless it, that which has been of Thee. Lord, take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us in the days to come. Bless every work of this church, even throughout this week. In Jesus' name, Amen.